for that introduction as we begin to look at this concept of hospitality in the 21st century. Before we get into the lesson, though, I'd want to welcome Dr. Sabir, who is with us today. He'll be coming this evening and speaking to us. If you don't mind standing so we can greet you, we'll greet Dr. Sabir here. Thank you. The write-up is in the bulletin on page 4. I mentioned this last week. He'll be here this evening sharing with us about the work in Pakistan, in particular that his father's work his father started and the people becoming Christians there, the persecution, as we talked about last week, that has taken place in that country. And we welcome you, and we're looking forward to hearing from you tonight. The context of this passage, Mark 9, verse 41, is very interesting. We won't go into it because it's a whole lesson in itself. But in this context, it's not necessarily Christians giving a cup of cold water. It is actually someone not necessarily connected with the body of Christ, but he is doing a small service in Christ's name to Christians. And Jesus says, even in that context, that person will not lose their reward. It reminds us of the passage, it's not a parallel passage, but it reminds us of the passage in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, when at the judgment day, Jesus is speaking and he's talking to separating the sheep and the goats. And he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And to the goats, the people separated as goats, he says, you did not give me something to drink. And as we explore this concept, both of these things, as Ed pointed out, makes us think of hospitality as one application to that. And we're going to explore that today. And as I was thinking about it, in many ways, this is a lost art. I don't want to be one of these old people who say, when I was younger, life was better. Because I remember when I was younger hearing that, and I thought, when I get older, I'm not going to do that. And so I'm not going to do that. But I think this hospitality has waned over the years. We pay for hospitality. In fact, if you Google hospitality, you won't see, at least my Google search, won't see a lot of pictures of people sitting around tables and in a home. You know what you see? Hotels. What is it called? It's called the hospitality service and all this. We pay for hospitality. If we want hospitality, we get on Airbnb and we pay for our places. Our political landscape is currently filled with all sorts of name-calling. Reminds me of little children arguing with one another. Instead of discussing ideas and issues, it seems that many people just resort to calling one another names. And one of these names you have probably heard is this word xenophobe. Now, most of you wouldn't even know what that was if the politicians hadn't said it. It's part of our political rhetoric. And to be called a xenophobe, we don't want to be called that. It's labeling me as not comfortable around people not like me. That's what a xenophobe is. It comes from two Greek words. Xenos, which means stranger. Phobia, which means fear. There's one of your Greek lessons for today. That's not found in the Bible, by the way. The opposite word of this Greek word is found in the Bible, and it is philoxenia. You can see the two words there. And those two words mean love of strangers. And it's usually translated hospitality or hospitable. I wonder how many people who accuse other people of xenophobia are guilty of philoxenia, or I'll say it in English, I wonder how many people who say you don't like other people are actually people who are inviting people into their lives. It's easy to call people by names. You know, Job's friends were convinced that there was some sin in his life that caused him to suffer the way he was suffering. He was, if you read the book of first part of Job, you'll find he's suffering in so many different ways. And his friends come to him and say, well, it has to be because of this and this and this. And he's explaining it. Finally, in chapter 26 through 31, he has this long explanation of why I'm innocent, why I do not deserve the things that I'm suffering. And one of the things he says in chapter 31 is this: no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. He said, I was a hospitable person. Why am I suffering like this? Look how I served other people. And we could go through the Old Testament and see how many times over and over a characteristic of righteous people was bringing people into their homes, bringing people into their fellowship. And God calls us to be that way also. How do I define hospitality? Love of strangers, that's the literal. But this is how I would define it. Hospitality is a warm and friendly attitude toward others, especially those you don't know, that is displayed in welcoming people into your home. I'll let you think about that for a moment. Now, hospitality isn't always shown in the home, or it can be shown away from the home. But I believe that you cannot be hospitable if your home is off limits to others. In our culture, we believe this: home is our haven, home is our retreat, home is our castle, and only those who are close to us are allowed within its borders. Jesus calls us to be counterculture. We've talked about this so many times. We're called to be counterculture, to live differently than the world. Our culture puts on our doors, do not enter. And Jesus says, I want you to put on your home, all welcome. Everyone is welcome. Now, some of you are sitting there, but what about the exception? Yes, there are exceptions. Of course, there are some reasons why you cannot open your home. I realize that, but I'm not talking about the exception. We're going to examine hospitality right now, and you need to determine by your own faith's conviction whether you are the exception to this or whether you're just making an excuse. I'm not going to make it up for you. You have to determine that yourself. Let's look at this concept of pursuing hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says this. In the NIV, it says, practice hospitality. Now, in the English, when we think about practicing something, we don't know how to do something well, and so we practice it. So we practice hospitality. I don't know how to play tennis well, so I buy myself a tennis racket, and I get out there, you know, against the wall, and I start hitting the ball, or get out on the court, and I practice in order to get better. And even though that's legitimate, that's a good way to learn how to be hospitable, that's not what this word is saying at all. It's not saying get out there and practice it in order to get better. The literal word is pursue. Literally, it is pursue hospitality. And it can be translated, the same word can be translated prosecute, or it is translated prosecute and persecute. The idea is this is an aggressive word. When we're saying practice or pursue hospitality, this is aggressive. The image is that someone is rushing after someone else. They're running after someone who perhaps is running away from them, and they're pursuing them. They're trying to catch them. It's not waiting for someone to come and knock on my door and say, hey, can I stay at your place? It is pursuing them. You're going out. You're trying to find these people. You're trying to persecute people with kindness. You are to be a persecutor of people in your hospitality. It's in the verb that means a continuous action. This is your lifestyle. This is a characteristic of a Christian, someone who is aggressively pursuing others in kindness and in hospitality. not just at Christmas. Christmas is a nice time to invite people in. Thanksgiving is a nice time to invite people in. But it's more than that. It's a daily lifestyle. You know, that's difficult. That's hard. For some of us, it's harder than others. Some of you are just natural, go get people into your life type of people. But I think there's a good portion, and I'll put of us, because I put myself in there, that it's not a natural thing for me to do. Jesus calls us, though, into his kingdom, not for comfort's sake. He calls us to live a life beyond even what we think we're capable of. He wants us to push the borders of the kingdom of our own hearts and open them up. And so he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, he says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Some translation says, ungrudgingly. You know, this is an interesting word. This is a sound word. It's onomatopoeia. You know, it's you know what that is. I remember learning that word in fifth grade, and it was the neatest word to learn. That and hyperbole, you know. But onomatopoeia, it means you're making a sound like, the word means, it sounds like what you're meaning, like murmur. You're murmuring, murmur. Well, this is the same thing, is gogusmos. So you sit in there, offer hospitality without going, gogusmos. Yeah. See what I'm saying? It's a sound word. And so he says, don't be that way. When you open up your home, don't be a grumbler, don't be a complainer, don't murmur under your voice saying, I really don't want to be doing this, even if you really don't want to be doing it. Don't be that person. Don't be like the man who said this. Some folks make you feel at home. Others make you wish you were. I know we've all been at home like that. And as we look at this in the context of 1 Peter here, it's in the evidence of love is here. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable or offer hospitality, but it's not a verb, it's not a command. It's actually an adjective that's describing something previously said. In chapter 4, verse 8, the verse right before it, this hospitable is based in chapter 4, verse 8, where he says, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And then he is saying, and this is how you do it when you're hospitable. You see, it's easy for me to invite people that I really love and like and I'm comfortable with in my home. But if I really love others deeply and I want to cover their sins up, bring them into your home. That's really what the context is saying here. What is really also interesting here, let me turn over here, and Ed brought this out, and he didn't even know he was going to do this, or I didn't know he was going to do it, and he didn't know we were going to do it. But over in the very next verse, chapter 4, verse 10, he says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In the context, it's bookend, hospitality is bookend around loving each other, and on the other end, showing your gifts, displaying your gifts, serving one another. Whatever, all the gifts that Ed was just speaking about that he took from Romans, all the gifts can be and are displayed, and your special gift can be displayed in your home when you're hospitable. Isn't that neat? It's not the gift of hospitality, it's your gift, whatever it is, whether it's giving, whether it's serving, whether it's exhortation, whether it's mercy, whether all the things that he mentioned, all those are displayed in your home when you're hospitable. And so a couple of translations that bring this out. One says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And I like Phillips here. He says, be hospitable to each other without secretly wishing you hadn't got to be. And you know, this all calls us to action, doesn't it? It calls us to action. Causes us to break out of the atmosphere. I am told by those of you who are smarter than me in this area that Earth's gravity keeps us on the ground. All right? And in order to break out of Earth's gravity, and some of you have worked mightily on this, to take a rocket and get it out into space, it takes a tremendous force to get that thing up. And I'm showing my ignorance here, but I'm told that it takes about 35,000 pounds of thrust, and some of you are going, no, it's only 28,460, whatever. It's a lot of pounds of force to get a rocket going around 25,000 miles an hour, some of you are just saying, he is so ignorant. To go out, I saw it happen when my cousin, who was an astronaut, went up for the first time. We went down to Cape Canaveral. He was in the space shuttle, and that thing was a long ways away from us. But as that came up, we could feel the vibrations of the power of that engine coming up. And Angel afterwards said, you know, when Jimmy was going up in the air like that, he must have been going like this. And that's true. It takes a tremendous amount of force to get going up into the air, breaking out of the atmosphere. And the world's spiritual gravity holds us tightly to ourselves. There's this temptation for the worldly gravity to keep us isolated. We tend to be self-centered. Our thoughts centered around what's comfortable for me, what's comfortable physically for me, what's comfortable emotionally for me, what's comfortable socially for me. And so we tend to pull in, and we don't want to be bothered by others. It's just not natural for many of us to just break out of that and open up our homes to others. It's natural for me to be self-centered. And so if I'm going to ever break out of the atmosphere and be hospitable like I need to be, you got to plan it. Hospitality has to be planned. Someone said to me, you know, not many people come to visit. And I asked, how many do you invite? You see, sometimes we want people in our homes, but we're not invited. How many times are we inviting? You've got to plan a meal. You've got to plan an event. You've got a plan of time. You got to plan a time to persecute others into hospitality, to pursue them in hospitality. And sometimes it's really, really difficult. When we first moved to Fiji, a lady there, her husband was sent to the Sinai, part of the peacekeeping forces. And so we decided that we would invite her and her children over to our house for a meal. And we asked her, and she said yes, and we planned this big meal. We had everything ready. And we waited, and we waited. You remember this, Julia? Yeah. This is one of those things that's in your memory, you never forget. She never came. And we always wondered, well, did we invite her the wrong way? Were we rude? You know, what? And we figured out she was just so shy that she couldn't say no, but she couldn't come either. And so she just never showed up. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you mess up. Sometimes things don't work the way you want it to work. But we have to think and we have to work in order for our homes to be a place, I'll call it strategic hospitality. You have a purpose here. You're doing something for a specific purpose. You're reaching out to some people. And if it eventually can become spontaneous, but at first, if you're not used to it, you have to plan it, you have to organize it, you have to do something to break out of that atmosphere of self-comfort. And if you're not used to it and you learn about it, after a while, it can be spontaneous. And that's really where we want to be, where we can just spontaneously open our homes to others. What's our motivation? Our motivation is God-centered hospitality. Here's what we really need to focus on. You know, a good preacher can make you really feel guilty for not being hospitable. And that's not what, I'm not a good preacher. I don't plan on making you feel guilty. If you're feeling guilty, then I am a good preacher. But that's really not where our motivation should be. Our motivation is, are we people who are God-centered? And this is the all-important question. We're not talking about, let's have good morals here. We're not saying, hey, this will make our lives nicer, make us happier, make us better people. That's not what we're trying to do here. But are we desirous to be a God-saturated individual? Are we eager to be people who are on fire in the Spirit? Are we Christ-centered in our, Christ-focused in our lives? You know, sometimes people have said things, remarks like this. You know, this church, Central, is good at studying the Bible. We have some really good Bible teachers. We're a church that's strong on theology. And all the time that those statements are made, is with they're implying that it's almost a second-rate thing to be. And it is if we don't put those things into practice. If you don't know God's Word, you will move away from God's will. If we do not know God's Word, we will move away from His will. But if you don't put it into practice, your Christianity is going to be lifeless. You can know the Word and have no life. But if you really know the Word the way you should, you'll put it into practice and you'll have life. And hospitality is being God-centered. Hospitality is God-centered living. Over in Leviticus 19, I counted 16 times, and I might have missed one or overcounted, but I counted 16 times where this statement is said, "For I am Yahweh your God." And it's a list of laws. He has these laws over and over. He has many laws. And he says, every two or three, he says, "For I am Yahweh your God." And what he means by this is this. He's saying, live this way because it is my character. Whatever the law is, he's saying, this law reflects my character. And so you do this because this will reflect my character. In the very first, well, let's go back. No, there we go. The very first words of chapter 19 of Leviticus says, "Be holy because I, Yahweh, your God, am holy." This is why we're holy. It's because God is holy. We're looking at Him and we're taking on His characteristics. We're trying to be like Him. And then down in verse 32 and 33, 32 is going to set the context before we go to 33, but he says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect to the elderly. Revere your God." Why? "For I am the Lord." Treat older people right, revere older people, and revere me, God says, because I am God. And that's my character. Then he says, verse 33, when an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. For I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh your God. Again, he says, you treat strangers, you love strangers, you be hospitable to strangers. Why? Because God says, because I am. That's the way I am. And so you be that way too. God has a gift of hospitality. God has gifted us with this hospitable heart. Grace is God's gift of Himself to strangers and aliens, those who are outside being invited in. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read this. We don't have time to explore it in any kind of depth at all. But in verse 12, he says of chapter 2, the shadow's in my way, there we go. "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus. You who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace. And in this one body to, here we go, reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. Through him, for through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. You know, you can just put that together. It's God's grace of hospitality. He's inviting the strangers, the foreigners in. He's saying, I have a place for you. Come, I want you two who are hostile to each other to come into my home here and be at peace with me and with each other. We owe our lives to God's hospitality toward us. Something almost miraculous happens when we open up our homes to others. I have talked to so many people that want to see a miracle. Just show me a miracle, and I'll believe. I'm going to show you a miracle right now. This is about as close as I can get. You open your home to people, your heart will change. Your life will be enriched when you serve people in your home. You will grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord sitting around the table. You become more like Christ when sitting in the living room and talking and serving others. A miracle will happen in your life when you open up your home. We have choices. We can watch TV, or we can watch our life change. Which do you want? Our culture says, turn on the TV and veg out. Christ says, open up your home and change your life. We need to break out of the gravity of self-centered living, experience the thrill of the ride into the atmosphere of God-centered living. And it's scary. And it's like Angel said, you'll be like this. Yeah. Sometimes I got to take two or three deep breaths before I open up my home to certain people. It's not the easiest thing for some. If it's easy, just do it. That's great. If it's hard, just do it because it's great. Let me give you three ways we can practice hospitality, put hospitality into practice. First one, look for people to greet in our assembly. Gary was doing this, getting us to do that, and that's a wonderful habit that he has for us to greet each other. And I noticed that we really like to do it. When we get going, it's hard for us to stop, especially in the other place. You know, here it's a little bit awkward because everyone's behind you, and it's just, you don't see people as well. But, you know, people would leave. I was too much up front. I couldn't see if people were leaving your seats to go to other people. But in the gym, we just leave seats, and it's hard to get back. Greet people. If you don't know someone, and this is difficult sometimes, if you don't know someone, go up to them and say, have I met you? And I've had this happen to me many times. They'll say, yes, several times. And I always tell people, I have decided years ago that I'm not going to be embarrassed if I forget your name and I have to ask you again. And it just clears the air, because most people have that trouble too. So for me to go up to someone and say, now what's your name again? And Tom says, I've known you for 30 years. My name's Tom. That's okay. But just ask, greet, meet people, talk to people. We have poor signage in this building. If someone comes in, just put yourself as a first-time visitor. You walk in that door up front, and if there's no one there, what do? You don't know what to do, right? I mean, you're sitting there just kind of wandering down the hall, you know, lost, you know, lost person. You don't know if to go up the stairs there, walk down the hall. You don't know where, if you have kids, you don't know where your kids go. You don't know anything. Our signage is poor. Sorry. We apologize. But when you see someone walking down the hall that you don't know, Ask them, do you need help? Do you need to find a classroom? Can I help you help your children get into a class? That's being hospitable. Introduce yourself. Smile. Number two, invite people into your homes. If you don't know how to do this, start with someone you know. I said this a couple of weeks ago. It helps if you're not really comfortable with conversations with people, invite someone you know who is a talker. And you don't have to say anything. You just sit there and you just say, this is my mother, and then that's it. Mom's probably watching on the live stream right now. But it's true. I mean, my mom is great. I don't have to say a word. In fact, when I have to say a word, I have to raise my hand. That's the only way I can get, Mom, I'd like to say something now. But really, I'm telling you the truth. If you don't know what to do, invite someone who is talkative. Bring them into your home with you. And it's easy after that. Third one. We have a lot of college students. We have a lot of His Way families. These folks are new to us. They've come in because they're seeking. They want to find meaning to their lives. These are folks that, I'm not excluding anyone when I include them, by the way. If you're sitting there, well, no one likes me. I'm not college age. No, I'm not saying that. But these are folks that, you know, a college student, if you remember, if you were in college, you ate cafeteria meals, right? And you ate, do we even have vending machines anymore in college? Yeah, that was my only meal was sometimes a vending machine. Go down and put a quarter in and get some cookies. Yeah, what? It was a long time ago. Yeah, I don't even know what it is now. It's a dollar? Well, quarter's not bad 40 years ago. That just reminded me of a story, okay? I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to be done. I'm going to tell you this. But it's a hospitable story. Who knows Jim Woodruff here? You want to know Jim? All right, Jim was a preacher at College Church. I was in my dorm room freshman year, and the guys were hungry, and so they said, hey, let's go, you know, someone go down and get some snacks out of the vending machine, which was on the second floor. We're on the third floor. And so everyone gave me quarters, and I had a bunch of quarters. And so I go out of the out of my room, and it's a boys-only dorm, and so I'm dressed appropriately. I'm in my underwear, okay? All right. And so I knew there's only one thing. As I go down the stairs, there's an open window, so I had to run down the stairs fast so nobody sees a student in their underwear. And so I start running, and I turn the corner, and I ran straight into the chest of Jim Woodruff. He was taller than me, and I ran right into his chest. And I looked up, and I said, oh, no, and I turned around, and I started running back to my room. And he goes, wait, wait, and he starts chasing me. And so we're running down the hall. Jim's chasing me, and I'm running in. I burst into my room, and all the guys look at me and go, what's going on? I said, Jim Woodruff is chasing me, and I jump in my bed, pull the cover over, and Jim jumps in the bed with me. And he's pulling on the covers, and he's pulling on the covers, and he says, now, Alan, he knew me from New Zealand, and he says, listen, I want to tell you a story. He said, that's okay. Don't be embarrassed. And this is just hospitality. He said, when I was a student in David Liscombe, I did the same thing, only worse. He said, I was walking down the hall with less clothes than what you have on. And around the corner, because he was coming from the back, from the showers, he said, and around the corner came the president of the school, the president's wife, the vice president and his wife, and two big donors and their wives. So he said, it could be worse. Don't worry about it. You know, and that's that kind of hospitality. I mean, that's a way you can just say, hey, it's okay. We all make mistakes. Come on. Open up your own homes. Open up your lives. You know, I'm thinking about people who, I mentioned His Way, Jim Blue, Ronnie Drain. I don't know if they're here, but they check on my folks almost every day. Every day, they either text them or call them or check on them. Hospitable. They're opening up their hearts to other people, opening up their lives to other people. That's how you're hospitable to others. I want to encourage us all to be hospitable people. I think that this one thing will change our lives more than anything else as a church and as individuals. If we learn how to open up our lives, how to open up our homes to one another. We'll be opening up our hearts and our lives to God if we do that. If we can help anyone in a public way, we're going to sing an invitation song right now. If you need to ask the church for prayers, our elders will be here. If you need to come to us and be baptized into Christ today, I believe there may be one person who's ready to do that. We're going to ask you to come as we stand and as we sing this song.